Let me welcome you to our worship today. My name is David Languish, pastor at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, Lakewood, Colorado. And as we worship today, we're going to focus on the love of Christ. And we do that every week, but especially as a thing that we value at Bethlehem and sharing that with people, sharing that with you. And I hope that happens in worship today. Prepare yourself. We'll be receiving Holy Communion. If that's something that's unfamiliar, or maybe just you have questions about that, let's have a conversation. It's an incredible gift that God has given to us. And if you're desiring to respond to God's goodness with an offering, you can go to our website at BethlehemDenver.com and you can give your offering that way. But now, let's worship. We're together, the body of Christ. And let's do it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Oh. could have gotten caught up from this ground at all. You make beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of.
As we gather in this time of worship, when we think about the love of God for us, there are no bounds to that. However, it's not that we've earned it or deserved it. In fact, we've done the opposite. And it's important for us to confess that, to acknowledge that before the Lord, to realize all of His favor is undeserved. So let's confess our sins. Lord God, we confess to you this thing we call sin, and maybe we've said it so many times we've forgotten how bad it is. We've offended you. We've violated your laws. We've hurt ourselves. We've hurt one another. We've broken relationships. And Lord, we need you to forgive. We need you to heal us. And we know you're always ready to do that. But today, we need to be reminded of that. Our spirits need to be encouraged in that. And as we come to you, we plead only because of Jesus Christ. It's only because of what he has done and continues to do that we can even ask or expect that you would hear our prayer. So thank you, Lord, for hearing us. because of Jesus, because of what he has done. Forgive our sins in his name. Amen. And as God hears our prayer, and he does hear it, he hears it every time we pray. He certainly does not like our sin. It offends him. But he loves applying the forgiveness of Jesus Christ to you and to me. He loves taking what Jesus has done through his life, his death, and then resurrection, and giving to us life, freedom from death, and the promise of a resurrection. So know this today, your sins are forgiven. All of them forgiven. In the name and blood and power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's direct our attention to God's word today. As we focus on the scriptures, this first reading is from Acts chapter 17. And in the season of Easter, those Sundays after Easter, instead of Old Testament lessons, we often go into the book of Acts. So once again, we're doing that today. Now, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons and in the marketplace every day with those who happened to be there. Some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers also conversed with him. And some said, "What does this babbler wish to say?" Others said, "He seemed to be a preacher of foreign divinities, because he was preaching Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? For you bring some strange things to our ears. We wish to know, therefore, what these things mean." Now, all the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there would spend their time in nothing except telling or hearing something new. So, Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we are indeed his offspring.' Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given us assurance to all, raising him from the dead." That is God's word. This next reading comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, and this will also be the basis for my message with you, beginning at verse 19. "For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath. but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest, after preaching it to others, I myself should be disqualified. That is God's word. And now one more reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning at verse 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." That is God's word. And as we think about God's word and reflect on that, it stirs in us faith. And this is a faith that you and I have shared with Christians throughout the world, but also throughout all time. So let's join together in professing that Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who, for us men, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen." Would you please pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you love us. We are so grateful that that love is unconditional. But also, Lord, we're thankful that we get to share that love with others. And I pray that you would tear down any boundaries there might be to that and help us to freely and abundantly share your love with others. Help us to abide in that love, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Have you ever heard the phrase, "a face only a mother could love"? It's not exactly a compliment, at least to the person whose face it is. Now, I suppose it's a compliment to moms, right? Or at least to some moms. I mean, you could be extraordinarily ugly and your mom would love you. Unconditional love. Love that's not earned and it's not deserved. A mother's love, or at least what a mother's love is supposed to be. So maybe before I say anything else, I should just stop. And on behalf of all of us, say to moms, thanks, moms. Thanks for loving us when we're hard, when we don't deserve it, when we haven't earned it. And in fact, let me encourage you also, if your mom's maybe is still around some, maybe sometime today, give her that. Or just go say, thanks, mom, for loving me when I was hard. Or I guess if your mom is gone, say a prayer to God. Thanks for my mom and what she did for me. But today we are talking about love. And we're talking about love as something that we value here at Bethlehem. And not just like any love, the best love. The deepest love, the most precious love there is, the love of Jesus Christ. And so it makes our list of four core values that we have here at Bethlehem. And we've already talked about how we value God's word and how we value children, how we value worship. Okay, those three. Today we're talking about valuing Christ's love. At Bethlehem, we value Christ's love and believe it is to be shared with everyone, including those who are beyond our church walls. Bethlehem isn't some kind of exclusive club. We are dispensers of God's love to everyone. And I will tell you that beyond our church walls part, that's important. Let me tell you a story about Owen. Owen, this is back in 2004, a tsunami hit in the Indian Ocean. It brought devastation to Sumatra, Indonesia. And Owen was separated from the rest of his family, ended up all alone, stranded on this reef. Well, here he is. He's young. He's scared. The good news is he was rescued. But they don't know what happened to the rest of his family. So Owen was adopted. Now, I probably should tell you at this point in the story that Owen was a baby hippopotamus. And who adopted Owen? A giant Albatron tortoise named Mazie. In fact, I'll show you a picture of what they look like. This is a few years after the adoption and all of that. But when Owen was released after the tsunami, he was released into this nature park in Kenya. He immediately began to cling to Mazie, and Mazie reciprocated. It's interesting. This is something that's called interspecies adoption. It's kind of crazy. Now, normally a giant tortoise doesn't adopt a hippo into his family. But I want to use this as a picture for our conversation today. Because when we talk about loving people, there are all kinds of walls that people put up that would put limits on that love and limits that we need to overcome. Like, we're different. We're different. I'm a tortoise. You're a hippopotamus. But you know what? I'm still going to love you anyway. Or I'm too old for this. Do you know that Mazie, this tortoise, 130 years old, 130 years old when he adopted Owen. I'm gonna still love you. Or people will judge us. They're gonna say it's weird. A tortoise and a hippo. Okay. But I'm still gonna love you. That's the love of Christ. It's the best. It's the deepest. It is the most precious love there is. Now, in a Bible reading from 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, he knew a little something about walls, but he wasn't about to let any walls in his life or anybody else's life get in the way of him sharing the love of Christ with them. Listen to what he says. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, all right, in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though myself not being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. So are the walls. I'm a different religion. I'm a different ethnicity. Jews and Gentiles, or I'm just in a different place in life and you're weak, whatever that all means. But there are walls. And I will tell you, we all have them. They're things that make us say, hey, I'll love you, but not you. Or I'll love you now I'll love you, but not if this happens. Or I can't love this person, and I won't love that person. Walls. But I will tell you, if we are going to share the love of Christ, if we're going to go beyond our walls to share the love of Christ, then we need to confront some of these walls that there are in our hearts. And this might mean confronting just maybe some of our wounds from the past, some of our prejudices, some of our just own judgmental attitudes. And we might need to dig in a little bit to certain moral failures, sexual failures, financial failures, substance abuse failures that all make these walls thicker and higher. Because like Paul, we don't want to let any walls in our lives or anyone else's lives get in the way of us sharing the love of Christ. Now, what I want to do is I want to walk you through a sequence that Paul went through that allowed him to think and talk like he does here in our text. And first of all, through the amazing story of his spiritual transformation, what Paul experienced in his life, he came to know that Christ's love has no walls. Christ's love has no walls. And this is really important for us as we talk about this being one of the core values for us. For Christ, it was never, hey, I'll love you, but not you. Or now I'll love you, but not if this happens. Or I can't love this person and I won't love that person. Christ's love has no walls. When he came to save, he came for all. When he died on the cross, he died for all. And even when he told his disciples to just go make disciples, he said, do it for all. Now, the second part of that sequence, though, is applying that to oneself personally, applying that love to oneself. I mean, there just can't be any walls there. And yet, I know there are many people who, like mentally, they can accept, okay, Christ loves everyone, right? But they just can't get themselves just think, well, I'm included in that. And I know that's like a mental disconnect there, but for whatever reason, they just can't accept Christ loves me. And I will tell you, the Apostle Paul even struggled with this. There were times when he called himself the worst sinner there ever was. But then, you know, in the same breath, he knew that God was placing him maybe to show just how deep the love of Christ was. And so, you know, the walls came down. You could say, Christ loves me. And that's the second part of this. And I just want you right now just to say that to yourself and believe it. Christ loves me. Just say it. All right, that's good. But we also need to get to the final step in this whole sequence of things. Yes, don't allow any walls around Christ's love. And don't allow any walls to come up between you and Christ's love. And if there are any, tear them down. But then third, don't tolerate any walls between Christ's love and other people. What did Paul say? I have become all things to all people that I might by all means save some. Let's take a look at how that tears down walls. I mean, first of all, when Paul says all, guess what? He means all. Now, obviously, surely Paul didn't have contact with all the people on the earth, but he's talking about all people, everyone in his circle of influence. And so he's reaching out to them. And it's why, as we share, you know, this value that we have together, that we share the value of the love of Christ, this is what we say. We value Christ's love and believe it is to be shared with everyone. Everyone. Now, for Paul to do that, he made an intentional and determined effort to meet people where they were. He says, to the Jews, I became as a Jew. To those under the law, I became as one under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law. To the weak, I became weak. All things to all people. Now, I suppose that could sound ingenuous, but it isn't. It is, in fact, very genuine. Genuine love. Because genuine love yields. It gives way to the other person. You know, like 1 Corinthians says, it doesn't insist on its own way, right? Genuine love sacrifices. Jackie Pullinger, she was a British missionary, worked in Hong Kong. She did a lot of serving amongst those who were struggling with addictions, drug addictions, all that. But she once said this, the principle of the gospel is this. The gospel always brings life to the receiver and death to the giver. The gospel always brings life to the receiver and death to the giver. And we see that in Jesus, right? The gospel, his gospel, brings us life, but it was at the cost of his life. And meeting people where they are costs us. It brings them life. But a sort of death to us, a dying to self, a releasing of whatever entitlement we might be feeling. So what motivated Paul to do that? I mean, you just have to imagine there were days when Paul was said, I don't want to be all things to all people. So what motivated him? Salvation. I had become all things to all people that by all means I might save. I might save some. Well, save from what? This is gospel saving. Listen to Paul in verse 23. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. Gospel saving saves us from our sins. Gospel saving saves us from our own self-destruction. Gospel saving saves us from the attacks of Satan. Gospel saving saves us from the darkening shadow of hopelessness, or fear, or anxiety, or despair. And I'll tell you, if there is anything, if anything that can propel us up and over around whatever walls there might be, that's it. Gospel saving, the saving gospel. Now, the Apostle Paul is realistic, okay? And he realizes he's not going to get everybody. But he does know. He does take comfort in the fact that he could get some. He could get some. And so can you. So can you. Let's take a look at what this all means for us. And what I want to do is I want to go through that same sequence that Paul did. Okay, first of all, Christ's love has no walls. And I mean, if you don't believe that, then there's no point in going any further. But I'll tell you, if you see that, then the next step is to believe it's true for you. Apply that truth to you and just say it again to yourself. Christ loves me. Okay, all right. But then, don't tolerate any walls between Christ's love and anyone else at all. And, okay, I'm going to be honest with you, because I realize that what I'm describing here is not easy. And in verse 24, Paul even concedes that, man, this is hard work. He compares it to a race, but not the kind of race in which, you know, you settle for a participation trophy. This is a race you want to win. Paul says that only one receives the prize. So then Paul says, so run that you might attain it. Run that you may get it. And so what Paul's talking about, he's talking about effort and he's talking about focus, because it's hard breaking down walls. Some of those walls have been there a long time. And I'll tell you, you might get tired. You might be injured. You might get hurt. But keep going. Keep going. Push. You know, as I was getting ready for my message here today, I ran across a quote about our brains. Our brains are wired to prioritize comfort. Our brains are wired to prioritize comfort and then to avoid fear, stress, and to avoid energy expenditures. So we're working against our own brains here in bringing the love of Christ and taking the love of Christ outside our walls, because you know what? It's uncomfortable at times. And there might be some fear and stress, and certainly energy expenditure, right? But I will tell you, the one who went to the cross, the one who loved us to death, is calling us to, by all means, become all things to all people, by all means, to win some. Now, where we're doing that at Bethlehem is as far away as Suchitepeque, Guatemala. At our care point there, where you, Bethlehem, where you are helping children experience the love of Christ. That's happening through you, far beyond our walls. Or every Thursday in our table ministry, the working poor and the homeless, there are people who may never become an official member of Bethlehem, but they're hearing that call of the love of Christ beyond our walls. Down in Littleton, there's a struggling congregation that we're adopted. We're embracing that space so that love of Christ can reach the people in that community. And you, wherever God is locating you, in whatever interactions you might have, sharing the love of Christ. Because we value Christ's love at Bethlehem. And we believe it is to be shared with everyone, including those, and especially those who are beyond our church walls. Amen. Let's spend some time in prayer. Just find a place where you are. You can close your eyes. You don't have to. Just kind of quiet your spirit and realize right now we're talking to God. Let's pray. Lord God, what an incredible love you have for us. Boundless love, deep, precious. Help us to know that love, first of all, for ourselves. And whatever walls there might be, tear those down. Whatever wounds we have from the past, whatever it is, Lord, help us to know without question you love us. And then, Lord, we pray for our world. We pray for the people in our circles of influence. Help them not just to know your love, but through us, to know your love, to in their interactions with us in life, to realize that there's something more, an incredible loving God. And we know that's true even when life is difficult, when we have challenges. Sometimes our bodies hurt, our minds hurt, we're struggling. We deal with emotional distress, depression. Help us to know you love us. You never forsake us. And Lord, we're so grateful for the recent moisture that we received, and just so grateful for what it's provided in terms of our grass, our trees, life, watering restrictions. Also know that there are some people who were affected negatively by the recent snowstorm, and just pray that you would bless them and the financial impact they may have had on them. We also pray, Lord, for moms as we are celebrating this weekend, Mother's Day. We thank you for the gift of our moms. And we realize moms aren't perfect. And Lord, there are probably some mom wounds that are out there as well. And we pray healing upon those things. Some of us have lost our moms and we're grieving today because we're reminded of that. And so we just pray blessings. And Lord, there are many who would love to be a mom, and for whatever reason, they haven't been able to. I pray, Lord, for amazing innovations with fertility, the procedures, the medications, whatever it might be. Because, Lord, there are a lot of great, great young men and women who would make awesome parents. And so I pray for that. And also, Lord, just for those who have children, help to value those children and to care for those children. It is a hard job, so strengthen moms, especially moms of young kids, but all moms. But we give praise to you, Lord, that there is a day that we especially, we can honor these amazing women. Lord, we pray for our ministry. Help us to, as individuals and as a ministry, be generous with our time, our attention, our resources, and to share that. Also, Lord, we do pray for our Southwest campus and the transition there. Continue to bless Pastor Dyer as he looks to what it means to be a campus pastor there while still doing ministry at the Lakewood campus at times. And all of the members and staff team that will be assisting in all of that. Lord, also pray just blessings of protection against any attacks that come our way. Lord, it seems like there are just so many scams and identity theft efforts and things where people are trying to harm us. So just protect us and watch over us. We also pray for those who are in our court systems and for whatever reason they find themselves before a judge or a jury. Just guidance, Lord, for them, the judges, lawyers, the court system. We want justice, Lord. That's what we want, is justice. Lord, we also know there are some who are dealing with stress in their life, and that stress is related to their job. I just pray that if it's a change in job, to provide that, if something in the job needs to change, or honestly, Lord, sometimes we're the problem. And if that's the case, help us, Lord, to change. Whatever it is, Lord, though, we ask that that stress would be relieved. And all of this, Lord, as we pray it, we know you love us. We do. But we need to be reminded of it. So thank you that we have the greatest reminder of all in Jesus. And thank you that not only is he here with us, alongside of us praying, but he's given us a beautiful prayer to pray, which we share together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. If you are ever struggling to believe that God loves you, and sometimes we go through those struggles, you might be in that moment right now. God doesn't just give us his word. He gives us these physical, visible means to know he loves us, called the means of grace. And one of those is the Lord's Supper. And we receive that today. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples and now to you, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. If you are not receiving communion, receive this blessing. God knows you, and he loves you. His grace is upon you. His power is over you. His Spirit is within you. Serve in his name, strengthened by his love. Amen. And now, take and eat. This is Christ's body that is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. And then take and drink. This is Christ's blood, and it is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins.
Bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and
This eating of Christ's body and drinking of his blood strengthen and preserve you steadfast in the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. And we go with God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Blessings on your day and your week. If you know someone who might be encouraged by this message, forward the link onto them. We're going to do another Ask the Pastor after services on campus here in Lakewood coming up on the 17th. So you've got that coming up in this next week if you happen to be on campus here. And just continue to pray for what we're doing and the launch of the Southwest Campus. It's an exciting time of ministry here at Bethlehem. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you. So love on. Believe me, you're changing the world. Love on.